now, to share her experience, strength, and hope with us, we have Sonia.
Hi, I'm Sonia. I'm an alcoholic. Wow, this is so intimidating. Of course, like, the ceiling doesn't really help. I've been like, whoa, for like the last, I don't know. Anyways, yeah, so clearly I used to also do drugs. Those are a part of my story. It's true. Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll just thank you, Katie, for asking me to speak. I really wasn't expecting that and appreciate it a lot. I guess I'll just jump right in. I don't know. My drinking story is like, I mean, I had absolutely no idea that I was an alcoholic. I knew that I was a really weird child. I thought about death probably more than most children. I thought about the fact that, like, I wasn't going to be alive one day, and my mom wasn't going to be alive one day, and I was like, I don't understand, like, this infinite, like, blackness. What? Like, you know, it was so confusing to me, and I would sit up at night, and I would just, like, cry, and my mom would come into my room, and I would be like, I don't know what's going to happen, and, like, one day, I'm not going to be. I don't think you're understanding what I'm saying. Like, I physically will not be anymore. And she was just like, yeah, but that's not going to happen for a really long time. And I was like, but it will happen, you know? And you know, I had trouble, like, going to school. I had a lot of social anxiety. I would call my mom constantly, like, crying and saying that I had a stomach ache, that I was going to be sick, like, come pick me up. You know, it was just, like, constant anxiety. And I didn't really have, like, a reason other than the fact that, like, I was just always petrified that, like, someone was going to be mad at me, someone was going to hate me, like, something was going to go wrong, and, you know, I didn't want to go to school. I didn't want to be around people. It seemed like so much work. And then one day I learned how to lie. And I learned that lying and pretending to be a bunch of different people was a great way to make a bunch of different people like you. Because you could just be whoever they wanted you to be, and you were like, oh, you listen to that band? Me too. And then they'd be like, really, what's your favorite song? I don't really do names, you know? I don't, like, because I had no idea what I was talking about. But I was just really, really, you know, good at manipulating situations. I was just awesome at it. So I went through a lot of, you know, fast forward to middle school, I went through a lot of, like, phases of, you know, things. I was punk, and then I was ghetto. In Bethesda, Maryland, where I'm from, that's not real. It's not a thing. There's no hood in Bethesda, okay? But, you know, I was like, yeah, like, whatever. I just want to be cool and hang out with the kids who talk about drugs, even though I've never done drugs, but I could one day, maybe. It happened. And then, you know, I sort of started, like, getting into my niche in high school. I became, like, the theater geek that I always was, and was in the choir, and, you know, like, did all that. But there was still, like, that part inside of me that just sort of, like, bounced around between people. Like, I had, like, one best friend who I hung out with all the time. And it wasn't, like, a healthy best friendship. It was, like, a really unhealthy codependent, we go everywhere together, and, like, people think we're a lesbian. That was true. Like, people really said that for a while. You know, anyway, I'm so sorry. Like, I don't know why I just said that. So, moving forward, I pretty much, like, I experimented with drugs, and I would drink a little bit here and there, but, like, I never, well, I guess in the 10th grade, I became a bit of a pothead for a while, because the girl who drove me to school smoked weed, and I was like, this is awesome. And I would just show up to Spanish class and be like, hola. It's a good time. But, yeah, I mean, I was like, I was in my senior year when things got really, when alcohol became a really big part of my life, because I didn't, I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life. And I hadn't even really planned out college. I applied to like 3 schools. Everybody else in my high school applied to like 15. I applied to 3. And all of which, one was in Minnesota, one was in New York City, and one was in Boston. I did not get into Emerson. And I got into Hamline in Minnesota, and I got into LIM here. And I was, you know, whatever, didn't know where I wanted to go, had no idea who I was, and I was dating someone. And, you know, I just felt like my life was, like, on pause, and everybody else was going forward. And I just was like, what am I missing? Like, what don't I understand? And I remember I went to a New Year's Eve party, and I got so fucked up. I was just so drunk. And it was glorious because, like, I don't know, like, I didn't think about anything. And I was friends with everyone, or at least I thought I was. And, like, in my mind, I was, you know, I was the tits. Like, I was just awesome. Like, like, you know, I was funny and I could talk to anyone and, like, it didn't matter. And I was like, I felt really sexy because I was wearing a t-shirt as a dress. Shouldn't do that. It's not, it's like really not sexy. But you know, I was just like, I thought I was amazing. And I like, you know, and I just fell in love with drinking. And that love affair just continued. I, you know, we had like beach week at my school, which was like a week where seniors just went to the beach and got drunk and like really fucked up. I don't remember much of what happened that week. I do remember singing that song Umbrella by Rihanna, but I only knew Umbrella. That was the only lyric I knew, so people got annoyed pretty quickly. And I remember running, like, I had a lot of those moments, you know, where I would run through nature and be like, ah, oh, I'm alive, like, this is such a feeling. And like then I ended up vomiting because you shouldn't smoke weed and drink at the same time, and then run down the beach. That's not a good decision, you know. And like it kind of just then I left for college and I came here, and then things got really dark very quickly. I was going, my boyfriend broke up with me, so I got really depressed, and I was going out all the time, and I was like. Like, really, like, I had never, you know, I had a very protective mother. Like, I didn't really, like, I snuck out of my house, you know, every once in a while. I lied and said, I'm sleeping at Allie's. And, like, you know, in reality, I would be going to a party. But, like, I didn't go out. There was nowhere to go in Bethesda except 7-Eleven. I did go there a lot. But, you know, so I came here and it was like, clubs, 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 like get in anywhere you want. Like, I don't need an ID. I have my student ID. That works as an ID. It doesn't say I'm 21, but like, shh, you don't know that. And, you know, and it was like drinks, just drinks all the time. And I didn't know how to drink at all. I was always a blackout drinker. But I really thought that that was normal. I really didn't think there was anything wrong with that. And that continued on, like, for my freshman year, and then, you know, I eventually kept calling my mom and telling her I was going to kill myself. So she was like, well, something should probably change. So I left New York, and I went to Minnesota. Not a lot going on there. I do love Minnesota. I have family there, so, you know, it's near and dear to my heart, but, yeah, there was just not a lot going on in Minnesota, and I was friends with one person. Her name was Katie, and that actually became a big reason. Katie and I were really close, and, you know, I can't say she was one of us because I don't know, but I know that she had, like, a lot of issues, and she did a lot of drugs, and we did some of them together, and I drank a lot. She didn't drink as much as I did, but she did. When she did, she blacked out. And, you know, eventually we had a huge falling out, and I left for school somewhere else, and I heard while I was at that other school that she committed suicide. And that, for me, was, like very unnerving. Because I had really had so much in common with this person. And she and I had, you know, supported each other. And I, like, couldn't believe that she was gone. And that we weren't even, like, in contact. And that I didn't even know that she was feeling that way. And that was brutal. I don't know, like, I also, like, I'm sorry, this is all over the place, but I also developed a pretty gnarly eating disorder during all of this, so it was just kind of like, I was just completely nuts, really, really nuts, and so my junior year of college, I sort of started turning my life around, or at least trying to. I started going to therapy again, so that was and it was on the phone. That was my version of turning my life around. I hit my senior year and shit just got crazy. I was smoking weed every day. My nickname, some of you know, was Stonia for a while. people would come over to my apartment and I'd be like, yeah, man, let's get high. And then, like, they would be high in my living room and I'd be like, all right, see you later. And I'd, like, go into my room and isolate while people were, like, chilling in my living room. So I, like, actually didn't want to be around anyone. I was drinking all the time and I would drink, like, nips by myself and then go to the bar. I would just, you know, steal people, like, I would steal their drinks off the bar, and then, you know, somehow, I don't even remember, it was just a lot of drinking all the time, and I had a few bottoms. God, I had so many bottoms, like, but I didn't know they were bottoms, I thought I was just in college, I think one of the big ones was, like, I was going to graduate the next day, and I had spent all of my money on booze and drugs, because I was also into Molly at that time. Molly was more expensive than weed. I went to Whole Foods and attempted to shoplift an entire, like, huge purse full of groceries. I thought I was being super stealth. I was not. And there was this guy who was, like, watching me, and I was like, who is that? He's totally checking me out, whatever. So obnoxious. He was checking me out because he was a security guard. I try to leave, and he, like, stops me, and I'm like, no, you can't have my number. Like, I'm all prepared to, like, reject this guy. And he's like, ma'am, I need you to open your bag. And I was like, say what? And he's like, yeah, you need to open your bag. And I was like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. And he was like, well, we know you've been shoplifting, so you can either open your bag or we can call the cops and they can open your bag. And I was like, oh, fuck. It's really humiliating being caught shoplifting there, because they walk you back through the store and, like, I don't know what it is, but everybody knows what's going on, or at least it feels that way, and you're just like, oh my god. And so, like, you know, they take me up to this little room, and I'm, like, in this little room, and they take my picture, and they tell me I can never go to Whole Foods again. Not true. And I'm, like, crying. Anyways, like, for whatever reason, they let me go. And I spend the whole, like, literally the whole day in my bed smoking weed, eating, and vomiting. Like, I'll just get really graphic with you. But, you know, that's what I did. And I remember I just was, like, so low, because I was just, like, I hate myself. I hate the person that I am. I hate the person that I'm becoming. I'm about to fucking graduate tomorrow. My parents are coming in tomorrow. Who almost gets arrested for shoplifting at the age of 22? Like, that's, you know, it's just not, you know, and I just remember, like, I was like, I can't do this anymore. And at that point, like, I came up with a pretty elaborate plan, aka, like, to take a bunch of Tylenol PM, because that's all I had. But I was like, I'm going to kill myself. Like, this is it, you know? And for some reason, Like, I just, probably because I never actually had the courage to kill myself. I think that's also part of why my drinking was so reckless. I really wanted to die. I just couldn't do it myself. So I tried to do everything. How am I on time? Probably like... That's amazing. Sorry, I have 10 minutes. It's so weird. Anyway, oh God. So I texted some people and I was like, I can't go on. You know, just like a bunch of that stuff. But then I kind of like passed out, I guess, in my bed, and I woke up to a bunch of people like, basically, like, I had locked myself in my room, like, somehow getting into my room and being like, Sonia, and, you know, and my friend was like, Sonia, how many pills did you take? I was like, I didn't take any pills, like, you know, really dramatic, like, and it was always, like, a show with me. That was just my thing, like, it was always a show. But I thought that, like, when I left Boston and I moved home, like, things would get better, because it was just because I was at college and I was away at college and I was around people who were drinking all the time and smoking weed all the time, and I just had to get out of where I was. And that was another thing I liked to do. I always ran away. I was a runner. You know, if I just changed location, changed person I'm dating, changed, like, you know, who I am, whatever, like, it was just like, you know, or changed disorders, because I like to do that a lot, too. But, like, my problems followed me wherever I went. And they followed me home. And then driving became a thing. So I was drinking and driving a lot. I don't know how I never was arrested for that. I really, really don't. I mean, I drove drunk home from D.C., which I drove on the highway. I drove drunk and high. I drove drunk in a hurricane, where I woke up from my blackout in front of a tree that had fallen down. By the grace of God, like, I stopped my car. You know, and it just got so dark and I got so alone so quickly. Like I had lost pretty much all of my friends at that point because nobody wanted to talk to me anymore, because all I was ever talking about was the fact that I was miserable and I wanted to die. Or, no, that was pretty much it. Like, that's pretty much all I ever had to say. And, oh, no, I also lost friends because I would burn a lot of bridges when I was drinking. I would say a lot of things that were not kosher, like a lot of things. Sometimes people wouldn't even tell me what I said. They just would stop talking to me. Or they would say, I can't believe you said that last night. And I'd be like, what are you talking about? It was bad. You know, it was just so bad. And I had very little self-esteem to begin with. So any morsel that I did have drinking took from me. Like, any bit of self-respect I had was completely gone. And so, yeah, I was living at home, and my mom pretty much was like, look, like, because I was, I would come home after one of my binges, and I'd be like, you guys, to my parents, because they were the only people I had to talk to at that point. I was like, you guys, I really don't want to drink anymore, you know, and I would, like, have these, like, deals that I would make with my parents. I was like, I'm not going to drink, okay? I'm not going to drink. Like, I'm not going out tonight. And, like, I would go out and I would drink, and, like, I would just keep drinking. And my mom was like, if you don't do something about this, because my mom's best friend is in the program, she's like, if you don't do something about this, like, you can't come back to the house. And I was like, okay, well, that can't be an option, because, like, I don't have anywhere else to go, and I wouldn't last long homeless, even in Bethesda, Maryland, where, I don't know, being homeless there is not like being homeless here. Regardless, would not last long on the street at all. So I went to an AA meeting, and I walked in there. Oh, I was like, I'm better than everybody in here. Like, I was just like, I don't belong here. I'm not a drunk. I have a problem with drinking. And I just wanted AA to teach me how to drink like normal people would drink. I thought that that's what this program did. And I remember this woman, Jill, came up to me, and she was like, "Hey, I'm Jill." And I was like, "Hey." Because I was just like, "Who are you? What do you want? Why are you talking to me? This is weird. I don't like women. Get away from me." You know, and she was like really nice and smiley. And I was like, "Are you like on something right now?" You know, I because I didn't think that I had to stop smoking weed. Also, I didn't know that that was like a part of this. And she gave me a big book, and I was like, no, I don't need this. And she was like, "Just take it." And I was like, no, but I don't need this. But, you know, I took it anyways. And then all these people got my number. And I was like, I guess. And then people called me the next day. And, like, mind you, nobody else was calling me. So I was like, well, I guess I kind of need friends. So I picked up the phone, and then Jill was like, "So we should go to another meeting tonight." And I was like, "Why?" so I didn't understand that. And I was like, "Mom, they want me to go to another one." And she was like, "I think you probably should." And I was like, "Whatever, Mom." 5 minutes, cool. But I did, and I went to another one, and then I went to another one, and I kept going, and I don't know why, but eventually, I started really actually, like, hearing what was being said, you know? Because I would, like, listen, but I didn't actually hear anything that was being said to me. And then eventually, I did, and I was like, fuck. Like, I am an alcoholic. I am absolutely, 100% to my core, an alcoholic. And because it's a disease of the mind. I'll never forget somebody said to me, like, "Yeah, you don't have, like... you know, let me ask you a question. Now that you've stopped drinking, have your problems gone away?" And I was like, "Actually, no, they've become amplified. Like, what is this?" You know, I was like that girl from Mean Girls who's like, "I have a lot of feelings." You know, I was just like, it's like constant, just constant. And, you know, like, I mean, basically, like, I only have 5 minutes left, so, like, let's just skip through that. But, like, you know, fast forward, I owe my life to this program. I mean, absolutely, 100%, I owe my life to this program. You know, I have a life because of this program and because of working these steps. I'm so immensely grateful. And, you know, and it's fucking difficult. I mean, it's hard being sober. Like, let's be real right now. You know, it is not all sunshine and rainbows. And granted, I only have, like, a year and I think, like, 7 months. But, and that's still considered relatively new. Although it feels like forever. You know, but, like, my life now is so much better than it was, because, like, regardless of the times when I, like, feel really bad, it's never as bad as it was when I would wake up after a night that I couldn't remember, you know, or next to somebody who I was like, "God, like, who are you?" Like, and just have that feeling of anxiety of checking my phone and what did I say and who did I hurt, and, like, you know, it's like, I don't have that anymore. Not to mention, I actually have a relationship with my family that doesn't consist of me calling them to refill my bank account. Like, you know, because that was my relationship with my parents, like, for a very, very long time. I was an awful daughter. I was a terrible sister, you know. I mean, it was, and I get all those relationships back today, and I get to talk to people and to listen to people, which is, like, so beautiful. I mean, I think that's one of the greatest gifts that this program gives you, is just, like, the ability to, like, really, truly, like, listen and hear people and hear what they have to say and, like, talk to them and relate to them and, like, offer your experience and, like, have that actually help them. Like, you know, like, I never thought that any of the shit that I did might actually be useful to someone else one day, but I'm really grateful that it can be. And these steps, like, God, I remember, like, looking at them, and I was like, turn my will and my life out. Like, I don't have anything to turn over. Like, what does that even mean? Like, what do you, like, what? Like, are we going to make a deal? Like, I don't understand. you know, but it's like, I like fully have like an understanding of like, you know, I don't know what God is. I can't, it's like Santa. Like I can't like see it. I can't like, you know, but it, I know it's there because like, it's just a feeling you get, you know, it's not even, it's more than that. It's like a, it's a lightness. And it's this idea that like that goodness that was always within me, like that's God to me. It's that, I'm not making any sense, but like, for me, it's like a light inside of you, you know, and it's a light that we all tried really, really hard, or at least I tried really, really hard to turn off consistently. And I did a damn good job, but you know, it's still there. And doing the steps, like, and you know, my sponsor now is incredible. Doing the steps with him, like, I just have like a, so much better understanding of like who I am as a person and how other people are. And this is gonna fall apart now. So I'm gonna stop talking. But yeah, thank you all for being here, because I wouldn't be here without you. I would not be here without this program. So thank you.